Good morning, how are you? All good? All happy? Great, ready for the word? Oh yeah, we're going to bring it. James is going to get right up in our grill today. Who likes Pastor James? That's a book of the Bible if you didn't know. Who likes to plan? Do we have anybody in here who's like the planning type of people who like to always have everything organized and they've got their to-do lists and they've got every day and every hour of the day all planned and scheduled? Is anybody like that? Right. And are there people here who just hate that kind of thing? Like, you know, spontaneous, you know, you got to really mean it. That kind, is that right? Exactly. This room is full of charming, good-looking people. Turn to the other neighbor, say you're good-looking. Okay, if it's a single guy or a girl, don't put any attitude in there. Just don't wink the eye. Just say you're good looking. Looking sharp today. I think we're all planning type of people. Even if you don't have a plan, you have a plan. Who's got the microphone? Who's got the microphone? Here we go. Let's find out a little bit here about some plans. Okay, whether it's the next day or the next week or the next month, or maybe you've got some big plans for next year, which would be what, 2007. I'll leave the front row alone because they always give the nice sort of, you know, articulate religious answers. So, David, what's, you got a plan for tomorrow? What's the plan tomorrow?
Go to work.
What time do you start?
7 o'clock.
Okay. What about over here? Selena, have we got a plan for next week?
Work.
Anything other than work? Anything like you don't normally do that on the week, but next week you're going to do it?
Assignments,
okay. Has anybody got a plan for next month? I wonder. Francis, have you got a plan for next month? Like something special?
Planning for my boy's fifth birthday.
Fifth birthday, okay. Now, I know you've got a plan, Marissa. Whoa! Don't you be doing that on a Sunday morning. Welcome to Auckland. Good to see you. That was really odd right there. What's your plan for December, Marissa?
Getting married.
Fantastic. Getting married. Yeah. There needs to be a few more weddings in here. Not looking at anybody. There we go, guys. Plans. Even if you haven't got a plan, you've got a plan. Because your plan is not to plan. Now, I'm someone who I think enjoys a bit of a plan, but I've learned to be more spontaneous. You know, guys, you can't always just rely on that reminder on your phone once a month or once a week to do the date night. It's nice to throw a little bit of spontaneity in there, right? Isn't that right, girls? Just come home randomly with a bunch of flowers or whatever works for her. My sons are, they, if you're not careful, they can plan my life for me. Any parent will know this. If you've got young children, you'll discover this. Usually around the preteen age where they're too cool for school, they can make a phone call, they've got friends, and they can be trusted to roam the mall or go somewhere on their own and just for a couple of hours and chill out. And I think almost all of my boys, at one stage or other, have told me, Dad, take me to the mall because I'm meeting up with Freddie. And I'm already busy doing something in the day. I've got a plan for the day. But they come and just tell me and assume that I can just drop everything and go. Does any parent know what I'm talking about? And on such an occasion, I've had to get down to my young, well, actually not too low because they're getting old, but say to them, son, who has the license and the ability to provide the transportation? Well, you, Dad. Who bought the car? You, Dad. Who pays for the petrol, the warrant of fitness, and the registration? You, Dad. And who's going to give you the pocket money to buy a milkshake and shout your friend something? You, Dad. That's right, son. So you pretty much bring nothing to the table. And I bring, well, everything to the table. Do you know what you've just done? I tell my son, you're assuming. I'm not your slave. You are taking me for granted. I know you don't mean that, but next time, come and ask. Come and consult. Do we do that with God? Do we assume, do we take God for granted? How often do you and I blindly go ahead and set all of our plans up without even thinking that God might have an opinion about the matter? Let's meddle a little bit. What about getting into a relationship? Especially if you know the other person is not even a follower of Christ. What about choosing to take a personal loan out? I come across horrendous, stupid financial decisions sometimes because I've just got to have that 50-inch television. What about a business opportunity? Great deal. Make millions. Don't worry. It'll take me out of church and I'll never see my kids again. But I'll make lots of money. It's for them. Choosing our entertainment. Choosing our career. Choosing what I'm going to study. Where I'm going to invest my time and money. Or even choosing not to tithe. Do we assume that that's okay with God? What about accepting a job offer? Oh yeah, closer to home, more money, great aspiration, but my friend, you can't even be in fellowship with other Christians, come to church on Sunday. Is it really the best thing? Deciding to get a tattoo. Some of these things, I'm not saying they're wrong or right, but what I'm saying is, do you even talk to God about it? Because I think God is incredibly interested in every aspect of our life. When you brushed your hair this morning, when you had a shower this morning, He knew that three hairs dropped off your head. I think He's going to worry about inking yourself or taking a personal loan or getting hooked up with some chick who doesn't even know God. Going flatting. Shall I go to church today? What about whether we have kids or we don't have kids? Or when we do have kids, do we even think to ask God, how would you like me to educate these children? There's about four or five different streams of education. But many of us might just assume we go to the local primary school. That may not be the best thing. Or figuring out where to serve in church. Should I buy a house or get this one? Drinking a beer or a glass of wine. You see, we think that God is only interested or we're only going to allow God to influence a certain realm part of our life, but all of us over here, we blindly assume, like my children, that God's just going to be okay with it. What we do is we make plans without consulting God. Have you done it? Guilty. Many times in my life, I've either because I think it's logical or it's reasonable, or we somehow conjure up a story that it's well intended, but really what it's about is what I want to do. And if I gave God the opportunity, He probably would say no, or not yet. The people that James wrote to were just like this. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17 is our text today, and it tells us about a group of people. You see, you need to understand that at the time in the first century, the Jews were very, very entrepreneurial. They were traveling out of town. They were looking to engage in business activities. They would travel to the next town, and the next town, there wasn't much there, a bit of a community. And a good old Jewish man goes, what an opportunity to make a few bob. And so they conjured up these plans. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And they were so brazen about it, so confident. Of course they could do what they like. That they were public about it. They're telling everybody about it. And Pastor James hears about it. They're talking about going traveling and making a pile of money. There was plenty of opportunity to make money. But James hears about how they were telling everybody and God's name was not even mentioned once. And just to be clear, God is not opposed to us making money, nor is Pastor James. But what Pastor James is very upset about is the way they did it, their attitude towards it. And so please open up your Bible, if you would, to James chapter 4 and verse 13. Is everybody with me? Verse 13, come now. That's a nice, sounds very English. Come now, come hither, my love. Come now. Really, the Greek's a lot stronger. The original's a lot stronger. It says, now listen to me. But like, listen here, son. Who paid for that car? That's right. Now listen. You who say today and tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Here comes Pastor James, about to give the reality check. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. What kind of pastor is he? We're supposed to come to church and be told we're very significant, that we're so precious. This world couldn't cope without us. Yes, we are significant. Yes, we are valuable, but he's bringing contrast and perspective. Looking at our life from a God perspective, we are a vapor about to vanish. And he goes on, instead, you should not talk like this. He says, instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. But now you boast in your arrogance. Arrogance. Can we even use that word in church? Yes, we can. Because it's in the Bible. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. See, James is saying, I just told you what is right. If you then go ahead and don't obey it and don't do it, then it's sin. You see, they were busy making plans without even consulting God. If they had half a brain, they would realize that actually God gave them the ability to do what they're about to do. How could they travel? If you open up the text, they are traveling. How could they pay for the train, the camel, or whatever works for them in their day and age? How were they even going to pay for that taxi? Who gave them the power to even make the wealth? For the brain to function, oxygen in the lungs, and the ability to walk. They needed money. They needed energy. Who allows the muscles in the human body, the whole functioning of our ability and our capacity to move? Who does that? God. You can't download that from some website. God gave them the time, God gave them the money, and God gives them the energy. They decided, didn't even think about what God thought, they decided to set time aside and put money aside, and they decided where they were going to go, when they were going to go, and how long they were going to be there. They arranged their lives. Get this. They, maybe some of us, arranged their lives as if God did not even exist. Or they do when it comes to singing songs on Sunday morning. But all the rest of it, it's me. They actually had the audacity to believe. In fact, they had the audacity to falsely believe that they were masters of their own destiny. Wrong. The very fact that we are breathing today and the very fact that we're even alive today is because of God's will. Can you give me an amen? I, on many occasions, ladies and gentlemen, have been just like my own children. Just take God for granted. What we need is a healthy dose of honest perspective. I want you to pretend that you are in a movie. In fact, you're an extra in a movie. And you get your mama and you get your close friends and you get everybody together and you go to the local theater and you play the movie because you've got a role, man. You're an extra in that movie. And it comes along and halfway through there's a scene of 100 people milling. And for 2/5 of a second they can see the back of your head. Did you see that? They would think you were delusional. You're not the main character. The whole movie of life is about God. James puts it this way. You're a vapor. Did you know in about 50 years, give or take a decade, we will barely be remembered? Did you know that in human history, there's been somewhere, around about 40 billion to 125 billion people even been born? If we were to take about 100 billion and one person was 1 second, do you have an idea how long that would go for? If one person, 1 second, 100 billion, it would go well over 3,000 years. A vapor. I can think sometimes that I have ultimate control over the direction and the duration of my life. We're very blessed to be in the movie, but it's only 2/5 of a second, and it's just the back of your head. Does that give you a bit of perspective? Despite our smallness and despite all of our small stature and our short space and time, God stoops down from heaven. God stoops down to this little dot called earth. He created us. He sustains us every day. He loves us unconditionally with a fiery passion. He watches out for us every second, ladies and gentlemen. You guys, I don't think you heard me. The all-powerful, all-knowing, completely pure, very wealthy, extremely generous God of the universe offers himself to be very involved in our lives, to protect us, to watch us, to be very involved in our decisions, from taking on a loan to tattoos to whatever we want to do with a relationship, to business, to money, to time. God's got an opinion on it all, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes he says, you choose. But do we even give him the choice to say no? That making plans without God, consulting God, is arrogant. I'll repeat it. I don't want you to miss it. James is saying that making plans without even consulting God is the height of arrogance and pride. Is that a strong sermon? I'm just honoring the text. Don't beat me up. But I have to get on my knees and acknowledge it in my own heart. How dare I even think? I think one of the most common, most obvious examples of taking God for granted is a lifeless and a neglected prayer life every day. You can feel the conviction in the room. The most obvious examples are just taking breath, taking life, taking my employment, taking my relationships for granted, taking God Almighty for granted every day. I reckon the most obvious example is a neglected and a lifeless prayer life. I'm not talking legalism, I'm talking gratitude. I'm talking relationship. If our prayer life is routine, neglected. I urge you, my brother, I urge you, my sister, to check your heart. If you think you can choose whatever you like, do whatever you like with your body, check your heart. I want you to think about your next best plan, your next big plan. Maybe it's next year, overseas trip. I don't know. I'm sure we have hopes and dreams and even plans. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I really am going to aim to do that. Can I ask you a really simple question? Is it okay with you if God says no? Can God even say that to you? And more so, would you even hear him and obey him? Or are you like those business people in James? Or like some of our children who don't want to hear? It's arrogant. Arrogance means that you assume, or I assume, that I know better. Someone who's arrogant in their attitude, which often, by the way, is wrapped up in cultural identity, we assume that we're better. In this case, we're not making that comparison with each other, we're making it with God. To neglect and to ignore and to not even consult God on issues that are very important in life is arrogant, according to the text. It's to say, God, I know better. I can work on this unsaved floozy over here. I know better. I'm just going to forget about my parents and do my own thing. I know better. I'm not sure I even agree with tithing anyway. I know better. I'm going to pour all my money into this investment. I'm not saying God wouldn't allow you to do any of that except the non-Christian dating, because that's never God's will. I'm happy to go on record and say that. It's never God's will to mess around with someone who's not a believer. But the other things that are issues of conscience and ethics, and some things are clear and black and white in Scripture, other things require you to work it through. Regardless of what decision it is, James tells us today to consult God. I repeat, can God even say no to you? Or are you just hell-bent on your own decision? Please understand that there's really three reasons why God would say no. Number one, it's sinful. If it's sinful, God's saying no. Number two, the timing is not to your maximum benefit. God knows the big picture. See, we're a vapor. He's been around like for a long time, like forever. Eternal. He is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He can see next week. You and I can't see next week. We have a plan. God forbid there'd be a natural disaster. God forbid an economical collapse. God forbid a child could get ill and we can't go to work because we've got to look after them, and therefore we can't, you know, I mean, this life, people, welcome to life. By all means, plan, but you know what we have to do? If it be your will, Lord, there's submission there. Lord, if it be your will, please permit this. A consultation in the prayer of, Lord, if this is your will, It's a submission. It's a heart of saying, God, if that's what you want for my life. And what he wants is not always what we want. What he wants is not always obvious. He might say no because it's sinful. He might say no because the timing is not to our maximum benefit. Thirdly, he might say no because he's got something better for you. Come on, you missed a good place to say amen. Honestly, if I was to think about relationships right now, I got some examples that I can think of, you know. Somebody in my office, and this guy, this girl, this is the one. Today they're married, happily married to someone completely different, but they were fully persuaded that was God's will. And those people were smart enough to get counsel, get discipleship, talk to their connect group leader. God said no because God had someone better, more suitable. God's for you. He's not against you. Don't you think we should talk to God? Don't you think if he knows all things, he is all powerful, all knowing, all generous, extremely wealthy, that we should maybe, just maybe, talk to God? Or are we going to be some stupid person, like some demanding 10-year-old to go to the mall when he owns everything? Aren't we foolish sometimes to think we could do this thing called life without God? Can I encourage you? Just two things I want you to do. Number one, slow down. Slow down and soak everything in prayer. You've got to do a train wreck. God can see it coming. Sometimes the leaders can see it coming. It's a train wreck about to happen. Because some of us have been around a little longer and made the same mistakes. We don't want you to get hurt. The safest place to be is in the will of God. Not off to the side somewhere. Slow down and submit every plan to God. James exhorts us and he says this, and I repeat, submit everything to God by saying this: Lord, if it's your will, if it's your will, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, showed us what to do. Even he knew God's will for his life. He knew it was going to mean pain. Oh, we had the tension and blood was coming out of his forehead. But even he said, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Even he submitted to the will, the knowledge and the power of Father God. Don't you think we should? Let's close our eyes. Father, forgive us. For we know not what we do. As James says, what is our life? It's but a vapor, like the morning mist. The sun rises and it burns off and is gone forever. In these few short years, some of us think we're bulletproof. Some of us assume we're going to live to 100. We don't know what the future holds, God. We don't know, Jesus, when you're going to come back. We don't know if we're going to be diagnosed with a terminal illness. We don't know if there's going to be an accident, Lord. We don't live in fear. But Lord, bad things happen to good people just as much as good things happen to bad people. Lord, I pray that we would live lives under the umbrella and the protection of your providential hand. That we'd humble our hearts. We would acknowledge your greatness, your wonder, your beauty, and your power. Forgive us for our arrogance and our pride. Just while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want to ask every person in this room one simple question. Have you been taking God for granted? It's not only unwise, it's not only not very smart, it's very prideful. Has God got access and influence in every part of your world? If today you want to make a commitment to say, God, take it all. Have it all. Just like Maliah said earlier on, take all my stuff. Forgive me, cleanse me, remove the arrogance out of my heart. Let me live a life that's so in tune with you, so in relationship with you that I can live my best life.